planet. Energy flows through one end of our being, circulates at the center, and then exits out through the other side. It is balanced, self-regulating, whole. This creative energy, if we are not aware of it, right, it's there whether we know it or not. And Foster Gamble says, when we are centered in stillness, we can connect to each other and feel the boundless consciousness of the universe. Wow, right? As we learn to quiet the noise and amplify our inner signal, right? You got an inner signal that you can amplify. We can better begin to hear the voice that naturally knows all things. God is the energy of life. And we live, move, and have our being within it. God's not a big, powerful person out there beyond the sky. Right? But you know, when we are focused on turmoil and the chaos of the world, does that ever happen around here? This resonance field, this Taurus energy that we are contracts. It literally collapses. Gary Simmons addressed this idea in his book, The Eye of the Storm. When you're angry, defensive, frustrated, your whole body participates. Your energy field collapses, causing the muscles to stiffen up, causing the reflections to stall to in response to that impending danger. This energy dynamic produces a resonance field in us similar to the pebble that's dropped in a still pond. Right? Just as it creates ripples outward, so it does in the resonance field that we are and the impending danger that might await. Everything and everyone in our proximity is signaled. Subconsciously, our state of mind triggers some response in others, right? You ever wondered why somebody got mad at you and you didn't say a word? Then they withdraw their energy and become rigid and entrenched, holding that situation hostage. You are an energy being who holds untold potential. Right? You're an energy being that holds untold potential. With the creative essence of the universe flowing through you in each and every moment. Your creations only depend on how and where you direct your resonance field. It's up to you to create a life of your conscious choosing or to experience one that's very different. What will you give expression to? When things get tough and seem to be getting worse, have you ever cried out, "God help me"? Right? Or, "Where is God?" Right? Where's God when I need him? Like during 9/11 or that bombing that happened downtown or many of the wars going on around the world? How could a good, loving God have allowed such things to happen? Where is God when a loved one dies? Our heart cries out, how could he have allowed such a thing to occur? Where was he? Especially if you believe you're one of God's chosen ones. Someone who follows all the rules. square with God? Right where God has always been, will always be, and is in this moment. God never moved. God surrounds and enfolds us and flows through us with each breath we take, and we're the ones who have moved. Have you failed to feel love, Spirit's loving presence? Have you ever failed to feel God's loving embrace? God's like that farmer who traveled 30 miles every Saturday into town with his wife to sell their farming goods. One Saturday, the wife said to her husband, do you ever remember when we were first married? How we used to make this drive into town and you put your arm around me and pull me close and then I lay my head upon your shoulder and he said, yep. And then she replied, how come we don't do that anymore? And after a moment of silence, he said, honey, I've never moved. God is just like that farmer in the God is just like that father who is in the story of the prodigal son, who is just waiting there on the edge of his farm, just waiting there for years and years and years for his son to awaken and return from his state of separation, to return home to the kingdom. God never moved. God surrounds and enfolds us. We are, I am, immersed in God's presence. And all we need to do is realize it. Is to pause and become centered in spirit. Centered in our focus on that breath of God flowing in and through us in this moment now. Frank Giudice, one of my Bible teachers at Unity School, said, in the Hebrew Bible, that's what most of us call the Old Testament, it shared a repeated theme. The people would find God, have a time of success, triumph, celebrate, living in awareness of God. And then one day, for some reason, they don't. Whenever they lost their way, when they lost their way, they had failed at their discipline, or had got their self immersed in one of life's challenges, or they went about breaking divine law. And then they would fall into this state of separation, and fall into a state of desperation. Repeated theme, experience God's presence, the wonder of the Garden of Eden, and then fall into a state of separation, desperation. Then a prophet would come along and remind them that they needed to return home, to return to an awareness of God's presence in all things, to find God's presence right here, right now. I believe one of the reasons why modern-day theologies have lost their way from that deeper sense of oneness in God is actually because of language. Whenever we use the word He, as I have done over the last few moments, to describe God, our attention, our awareness is subtly shifted to God who has a human form, right? And a masculine shape, and sits out there God's not out there today. There are no clouds. right? Sits out there in a big cloud watching everything that we're doing, taking notes, right? Even if we know and affirm God is the substance of life, the energy of being, right? We shifted to this awareness of God as a human being with a physical form. And we forget that God created us in its image and likeness. He created us male and female. In other words, we have both the masculine and the feminine energy flowing in and through us. Right? Back there when God became a he, anybody remember when that was? Was 705 A.D. Right? So, and it's because we shifted the language. Right? Up until that time, you know, the word, a man, a woman's word name often had an E at the end, always had an E at the end. A man's name never had an E. And so animals and dogs had the same experience, that they had the E at the name, at the end of the name, or no E at the end of the name. Right? That's how you could tell whether it was a male or a female. And then one day they began to label all every object that there was with an E or not an E. And so if this candle had an E at the end, it was a female candle. Right? And then when they shifted and they were looking for God's name, making the names the pronouns, because you always had, everything had to be defined with a pronoun, right? Every time that they mentioned a God name, it never had an E at the end. So, 705 AD, God became a he or him and took on a masculine shape. Intriguing idea. And so they completely ignored what it says in Genesis 1:27. That God created humankind in its image and likeness. God created them male and female. Clearly indicating that God is both male and female. And in all of nature has these two expressions, masculine and feminine energy flowing through it. It's a positive and a negative energy flowing, stirring in all things. But whenever we hear the word he or him, we automatically begin to shift our idea of God as a man. In our own mind, we hear these words, and I say, or you might say, but, right? The only thing I can say is that it's a paradox. So don't try to understand it from a traditional or a language perception, but rather approach it metaphysically, where the masculine nature represents the thinking, rational, intellectual side of our nature, and women represent the feeling, intuitive, emotional side of our nature. To grow and evolve spiritually, coming closer and more in tune with God, we have to enhance and develop both sides of our nature that are inherently within each and every one of us. Because after all, we were created in the image and likeness of God. Whoa. Did you ever hear that before you came here? You're created in the image and likeness of God. Wow. I mean, this takes a little bit of practice, a little stretching, because everyone else uses he and him to refer to God, don't they? Even Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, even though they were very clear that God wasn't a man sitting out there on a cloudless day. Right? Where's God when there's no clouds? He must have been having fun last night on those storm clouds, you think? The words he and him appear everywhere in the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is translated into English in the 15th century. When you hear someone else using he or him, don't correct them. That is, unless you have their permission. Just do conscious editing in your mind, saying, oh yeah, you're talking about the divine, the infinite one, the creative energy of all the universe, or whatever else you might call God, so that your own development, that personal relationship with love's presence, can develop and begin to embrace it. Isn't that what you really want, to be able to feel and to know love's presence in all that you do? To know that you are immersed in God's presence and that every cell of your being is filled with that radiant life of the divine? That you are centered in Spirit's presence and the breath of God is flowing in and through you in this moment now? Isn't that what you really want to experience? A while back, I had the opportunity to interview a Unity ministerial student who had been raised in a traditional Jewish background. And the student grew up reading ancient Hebrew. She told me about her bar mitzvah. You didn't know women had bar mitzvah, right? She told me about her bar mitzvah and how the Jews of today and long ago are not allowed to speak the name of God. Edename. So they often would pick another name, like the one Jesus actually used, Abba, which has been translated directly into English, meaning Father. But she added, what it really means is Papa. It's a term of endearment that signifies a loving, tender, close parental relationship that is supportive and empowering, a source of all good and provides all the needs for the family. Papa. In what we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus actually prayed, Papa, my Papa, you who are in the ever-unfolding creative potential, all about me, I hollow out a place within my heart to hold your presence. Your kingdom has come and your will is being done right here on earth as it is in the divine. Those are actually words actually translated from the Aramaic translation of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus used the word Abba. And doesn't it feel very differently? Right? One reason is our relationship with the words Father and Papa. Father is a more traditional image, a little more distant image of a man who helped to raise us from out there. And depending on how that relationship has been, it tends to influence the way we see God, as a strict, stern disciplinarian or a gentle, loving soul that has limits. The word Papa, on the other hand, tends to project the image of a close, personal relationship. Jesus prayed, Papa, Papa, I know you are here with me in the creative potential of this moment. What if you were able to pray that way? How would it shift your awareness of the living energy? How would it help you to move into an awareness of that abiding presence? Abba, my Abba, I am one with you. As we proclaim these words, we might understand how Jesus entered into an awareness of love and oneness with Spirit, with the life force in which we live, move, and have our being. Jesus began his prayer saying, Abba, Papa, my Papa, right? He didn't say, Daddy, my daddy's bigger than you, and he's gonna throw a lightning bolt down to fix you if you don't do it my way.
That happens.
Jesus said, Papa, my whole understanding of God shifts when I use such a term of endearment as Papa. We are children of God, created in the image and likeness of God. And since God is the divine spirit, our essence is of divine spirit, the breath and energy of God flowing in and through each and every one of us. You do know, science has now proven that our bodies are 99.9% energy. I've said that a few times, so maybe you might remember it. Our bodies are 99.9% energy. As we explore our divine spiritual nature, we discover that we are the same capacity for receiving internal resonance of sound. You might call it intuition. We learn over time to discriminate and to listen to what is important. Well, it's the same in receiving intuitive nudges. As we grow in awareness of the divine presence as a loving, tender, empowering presence, we learn to discern the ways the Spirit talks to us and expresses itself through us. No, you are never alone. God is always there. The Sacred Spirit is always with you, surrounding and enfolding you, always seeking to express through you. And if you are open and receptive, you're going to learn about the complexity of God's goodness. Wouldn't you love to learn about the complexity of God's goodness? No, you wouldn't, huh? No, okay. Oh my gosh, okay. Awakening to this Taurus energy being that we are, to this flowing resonance field, and learning how to direct it is one of the things of our spiritual discipline that we need to incorporate into our everyday life. We have to stir our spiritual faculties up, learning how each and every one of them works, and then clear away of whatever might be blocking them. This will allow the radiant light of the divine to flow in and through us, harmonizing our being, empowering us to be open and connect to the inspiration and guidance of spirits when it comes to us. In this way, our resonance field will be glowing and energized and connected and charged. Are you ready to be electrified by the Holy Spirit? Wow, right? Then know that you are truly loved by God, right? God loves you in all ways. Abba, oh Abba, I know that I am immersed in your presence and I am feeling your living resonance flowing through me. Y'all want to say that with me? Abba, oh Abba, I am immersed in your presence. You all did it right. I did it wrong. So now you got to say it again. You got to make sure I say it right. Together. Abba, oh Abba, I know that I am immersed in your presence and I am feeling your living resonance flowing through me. I'll invite